is Elizabeth Collette. I'm interviewing Amanda Gockley-Baum, who started at Millersville in 1933, and she graduated in 1941, and it is November 8th, 2003. Now, Mrs. Baum, how would you describe student culture or student life during your time at Millersville back in the 30s and 40s?
It was quite different from what it is today. We had to be in every night at 7 o'clock, and Miss Connard, the dean of women, stood at the door to smell you when you came in to see if you were at Ford's Tea Room smoking or if you were at Hill's for a hamburger.
Were there any, I don't know, any differences in, like, after-school activities? You said that you had to be in by 7 o'clock. What about the boys? What did they have to do?
The boys could run all over the town all night and go where they wanted to. They never had any restrictions.
Now, were there any exceptions to these rules, or what happened if girls would break the rules? Is there a story behind a girl breaking a rule, this rule of being in at 7 o'clock?
Well, I remember two girls went to Lancaster to visit a friend on a Saturday evening and didn't come back till Sunday morning. And they had some other girl sign in for them, and they were caught coming in, and the one girl was expelled. I never knew why the other one wasn't, but she stayed.
Wow, and that was the punishment if you were caught outside of, at 7 o'clock?
It was from Tower City. Peggy Belford was her name. She was from Tower City. I forget who the other girl was. Clark, I believe her name was.
That was expelled. And you had to sign in and out at 7 o'clock and in the morning just to make sure?
No, not in the morning.
Not in the morning.
In the
okay. And what would a typical day be like for you going to school?
You went to your classes and you had study period and you did library work. There wasn't much to do but study and get ready for the next class.
Did you ever see any differences in the way teachers would treat the boys and the girls? Was there ever an incident of, you know, boys being treated different than girls in the actual classroom by professors?
Well, the only thing that I remember is Pappy Hoover's psychology class. He said your name and then you stood up like a stick and hoped you'd know the answer. And if you didn't, he belittled you beyond belief. And fortunately, I could memorize in those days, and I memorized a psychology book.
Got an A in the course. Now, what were the rules or the norms of being a student during your time at Millersville? You said about how you had to be in at 7 o'clock. Were there any other, and you had to sign in when you got there, were there any other rules given to either all the students or just the women?
Well, the first 6 weeks we had to go in the back door, and we had to wear green beanies, we called them, little caps, so that people knew that we were freshmen. But after that, we could go up the front steps and go in.
Now, why were these freshmen treated differently? You don't know?
Those were the rules in those days.
Okay. Any other rules that you remember? Just basically going in the front, you had to go in the back door, and then was that boys too, or just the girl freshmen?
Boys had no rules. They could run up all over the place.
So it was just the girl freshmen. Okay. Did the boys didn't have to wear any special hat as a freshman either?
No.
Wow. Okay. Were there any exceptions to what you've described, like any women freshmen that got out of it, or was there any way to get out of any of the rules?
No. You obeyed the rules or else.
And what was the or else? You either got expelled, or was there a dean or anyone to answer to?
You probably would have been expelled if you did something radical, but we all learned to obey the rules.
Now, would that be just the girls would be expelled, or would you say the boys would be expelled for it?
The boys could do what they wanted to, and they had their parties and their drinks, and...
And the girls couldn't?
No. No, they held on to us.
Why do you think that was?
They were stricter with the girls because girls could get in trouble in those days just like they do today, and the college didn't want to be responsible. That's the only reason I can figure out.
Now, when you say get in trouble, what do you mean?
Well, like sneak out at night or not come in like two girls did and whatever you did that was against the rules.
But you don't think that boys could sneak out? Well, they didn't have rules, but why do you think that they were allowed to go out in the middle of the night and girls weren't? You think they were trying to just keep you guys as ladies, like acting as ladies?
That's right. And so that we wouldn't do what the girls are doing today, go out drinking and getting in trouble in all kinds of ways. That didn't happen then.
Now, would you say getting in trouble, would you mean pregnant as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You think that was a big reason?
And drugs, and we didn't have that.
Okay. How would you describe relationships with other students and faculty during your time at Millersville?
Well, we all got along very well. We got to know the teachers. They talked to you. They smiled when they saw you. They knew you by name. And a lot of the kids, we could visit in our rooms, but we couldn't go outside at night. So we had a very good, friendly relationship.
Were you allowed to write to boys on campus or girls on campus or things like that? Like, how did you guys communicate after 7 o'clock?
Well, we didn't write to them. And there were no telephones like you have. We didn't bother after 7 o'clock. You were in your room studying. We weren't even allowed to go from one floor to the next to visit. You had to stay in your room after 7 o'clock.
And how did they keep that? Was there someone there making sure everyone was in the room?
Every floor had a teacher at the end of the hall, and they were like a monitor. And if you got too loud, they rapped on your door or even came in and opened it.
Wow. Now, was there any type of teacher-student relationship that was more than just teacher-student? Were there any, did you know of any students maybe dating faculty members or anything like that?
No, there was nothing like that. The only faculty members that I knew that dated were Miss Ricky and Mr. Priscilla.
And they got married?
They later got married, yes.
But they were both faculty members, not faculty students.
Oh, hey, what was her name in the library? No, in the library. Dancer. Just to look at her, you don't know if she ever looked at a man.
So why do you say that?
Well, she was all business. All business.
Okay. Is that how librarians had to be?
I don't know.
Okay. Now, how did men and women typically relate with one another during your time at Miller's? Like, how did they get along, or how did they communicate?
Well, we'd say hello. That was about it. And in class, you got to know some better than others, and you might ask a question or say something, but there wasn't any talking in between. Girls walked from building to building during changing classes, and we didn't bother with the boys because it was off the record for us.
And why is that?
Well, those were school rules in those days.
That the boys and girls couldn't talk back and forth?
Well, you weren't supposed to. And that's right. You were supposed to be all business.
Not thinking about boys? Okay. Were there any exceptions to what you've described? Were there any, I don't know, girls running off to meet their boyfriends or boys?
Yes, it happened. It happened. They got away with it and some didn't.
And what happened to the ones who didn't?
I don't remember that there were any punishments meted out.
It wasn't as severe as expulsion, though, would you say?
No. But there were two girls expelled for going out. That's all that I know.
But not for meeting boyfriends that you know of? Okay.
They just stayed away from the boys.
Much like today, huh?
No, today it's different.
Was there anyone to make sure that the girls just walked to their classrooms and the boys just walked to theirs?
No, we were on our own on the campus.
Okay.
Nobody followed us.
Okay. How were female students expected to behave at the time you attended Millersville?
Well, you walked the chalk line because that's what they did in those days. It wasn't high like we yell today and toss a cigarette or share cigarettes or drugs or whatever. It wasn't. It was just a simple adult life.
You said you were expected to wear a hat as a freshman?
A little beanie cap, it was called. A green beanie cap. 6 weeks we had to wear it, and we could get rid of it.
Was there any specific uniform for women to wear as well?
No, we had no uniforms. We could wear what we wanted.
But does that include slacks? Were you ever allowed to wear slacks?
No, girls didn't wear slacks in those days.
So just skirts?
Skirts, blouses and skirts. And we did our own laundry. We had a laundry on each floor. Did your own laundry.
Now, were you ever on, were there any, exceptions to this rule as well? Like, to how the women were expected to behave? Anyone who refused to act like a lady or refused to follow the rules?
Well, we sort of learned what the rules were. But one girl was expelled. She wasn't even allowed to pack her trunk. Excuse me, the dean packed the trunk and it was delivered to their house. She took her roommate's jewelry, and when they finally found out who did it, she flushed it down the toilet. And she was expelled right away.
For doing that?
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever find out why she did that? Do you want a drink?
She didn't need to do it because she came from a family that had the means to. She just did it. She just did it. Mm-hmm. Her family was here from Ecuador, and they were considered above the average people as far as wealth. But she was expelled on a Sunday afternoon. They had to come and get her.
Wow. What were traditions that were observed? Like, what traditions were observed either by the college or by the actual students during your time at Millersville? How were name traditions observed?
Well, we had the biggest event for me was May Day. We had a whole day of it by the lake, and we picked a beauty queen. I remember the first year her name was Naomi Hess. She was a beautiful girl, and she rode across the lake in some kind of a little skiff or boat or whatever, and then we had a dance, a May Day dance, they called it. We danced around the maypole, and it was a big celebration on the campus every year.
Was everyone expected to attend?
Well, those that were there did. Some went home, maybe, I don't know, but most of us were there all the time, and everybody took part in the celebration.
Did you have to wear anything in particular that day?
No, I had to have a special white dress made for the maypole dance, but other than that, people could dress as they wanted, and there were no slacks then.
Was that the only named tradition that Millersville celebrated?
That and homecoming and the football games, that's about all the excitement there was.
Was there a homecoming queen as well as a May Day queen?
No, not that I remember.
Okay. Were there any exceptions to observing those traditions in expected ways? Were people allowed to not participate or not go along?
It was voluntary. If you didn't go to the attractions, you didn't go, but everybody went. It's the only excitement we had.
Okay. What historical events do you remember during your time at Millersville? Didn't you go during the Depression?
Yes.
And what was that like for you?
We had to march in the city of Lancaster. We were taken there on the back of a truck. All the freshmen had to march in the Roosevelt Parade through the city of Lancaster. NRA, they called it. National Recovery Act. And we had a big celebration in that parade, and then we were trucked back to Millersville again.
Wow. Now, was it hard going to school during the Depression? Like, what did they do for money and the economy, and how did your parents afford to send you and things like that?
Well, we lived on the farm and had a butchering business. We went to market twice a week. We killed 2 beef cattle and 6 calves and 2 pigs and a lot of chickens and ducks and turkeys. So we really had always had something to eat, and we had a 55-acre farm. We had plenty of food that we raised, and my mother canned a lot, and I don't know what the Depression was. I even had a fur coat, but there were a lot of hungry people in those days.
Did you notice that in classmates? Were there any classmates that seemed to be suffering hard from the Depression?
No, if you were among the poor of the poor, the poorest of the poor, you didn't go to college, you couldn't afford it. And there was no other help. No, the bank wouldn't lend you any money in those days to go to college, nor the government.
Now, did you teach during the Depression?
Well, I taught in 30. I started to teach in 35. And the Depression was at the end. It was before that. It started in the late 20s, early 30s.
Mm-hmm.
But when I started to teach, we had rationing. You could only buy certain kinds of food, and you could only buy so much sugar and so much of this and that, and gasoline was rationed, and tires for cars, new cars were made, and I bought 4 tires, paid $50 a piece for them. You could get anything you wanted on the black market. There was no shortage of anything. It was all forced upon us.
Did Millersville seem to suffer from any, have any restrictions as far as food or anything during the Depression?
No, not that I remember. We had plenty of good food, lots of good food.
Okay. So basically, if you couldn't afford to go to college, you didn't go. But if you went, they weren't suffering from the Depression. You had plenty of food and supplies and things. Okay. Did any of those historical events, like the NCA you were talking about, or NRA, I'm sorry, did any of those events affect your experience as a student at Millersville?
No. No, not in any way. No. That NRA wasn't pushed down to us at all, Roosevelt's program. But then later, when my sister went, then she said that all that was talk about socialism and communism.
Oh, my.
But that wasn't when I went.
Now, how did your association with Millersville affect you, would you say, in the short term, like immediately after graduation, or day-to-day impact of employment? Like maybe when you were still teaching, but going to school as well?
Well, I hadn't much contact with Millersville except to go to my classes and meet with my teachers. I was the only student taking American Lit, and I ran across the street to Mr. Lingenfeller's home at 8 o'clock on a Saturday morning, and I often came there. He was either in bed or shaving, and all I had was a pile of books that I had to read, and then we'd talk a little, and that was my class.
Nice. Now, you majored in rural education. If you could explain in more depth what rural education was and how it was an option, and would you say it was more men or women? Those sorts of things.
There were both. There were quite a few girls in our group. If you wanted to teach in a rural school, you had to learn about agriculture. We had a book called Rural Education. But I grew up on the farm, and there wasn't anything in there that I didn't know about. We had cows, and we milked, and we grew crops, and we hoed weeds and things like that. But there were some kids that didn't come from the farm, so it benefited them.
Now, so it was more like instead of majoring in elementary education or secondary education, it was either rural education or urban, would you say, education?
Well, you could take, if you didn't take rural education, then you could teach in the borough, like here in Ecuador where we are now. You could teach there if you just took the general education course, but if you wanted to teach in the country school, you had to have that extra education. That was nothing to me as far as I was concerned, because I grew up on the farm, but for some it was necessary.
But with rural education, you could teach both on the farm, but also in places like Ecuador.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, and you think that your education impacting you immediately, would you say that it helps with your teaching? Like, that's the impact that Millersville gave you right away, or do you think it made any type of impact on you right away, like the fact that you went to Millersville?
Well, we had what they called training school then. I trained in the rural school, which was taught by Miss Bull, and I trained in third grade for my elementary education, and that was, I forget her name. Oh, what was her name who taught the third grade? It was in that building right across the street from the campus. What was that called? That's where you took your education classes and went to school. The rural school was a one-room school taught by Anna Bull, and you learned, that's where I learned how to get adjusted to the rural school. Then the second half of the year, I had I'm thinking of Lenhardt, but that wasn't it. I forget her name. She taught third grade. There was a teacher for each grade that you trained in. So I was trained to go from the rural school into the borough or city if I wanted to.
Oh, nice.
What was her name? It's terrible.
Now, how did your association with Millersville affect you in the long term, would you say? As far as your teaching career, things like that, what did Millersville give you as a building block? Like, did it help you as a teacher or anything like that? Like, with your future? Like, how did it help with the future?
Well, they prepared you very well because you specialized in your grades and your areas that you were interested in, and you did practice teaching in that's the building where this teacher was in. It was across the street from the main building. I forget what it's called now. It was a training school. No, it's Stair. Is it Dr. Stair? That's where we trained. That was where you learned to teach.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And you said that it prepared you very well. And did you use your rural education degree in the future?
Mm-hmm.
Well, just for 6 years. Then I went in. I taught fifth and sixth in a four-room setup.
And then how long did you teach altogether? How many years?
Well, I taught in a one-room school for 6 years. Then I transferred to fifth and sixth grade for 7 years. Then I got married for 10 years. And then my husband died. Then I went back to teaching again in a fifth and sixth grade setup. And I had 2 years there. Then they remodeled the old high school and it became elementary school. And then I spent 29 years in sixth grade.
Wow, and is that where you retired? Sixth grade? Okay. And you said about you got married for 10 years. What was it like being a teacher as far as were you allowed to be married, things like that?
By then I was, yes. I was allowed to be married then, but not when I started. That changed in the beginning 40s or around the late 30s, I think that rule was changed. But before that, married women didn't teach.
They weren't allowed to, or they just didn't? It was taboo?
They weren't allowed to in some areas. They weren't allowed to.
So how old were you when you first started teaching?
I was 18 years old.
And you said you taught in a one-room school? How many classes were in there?
Six. Six. It was when they started busing, and they built a new school in Reinholds where I lived, and they bused the 7th and 8th graders to the new school from the whole district. So I only taught grades 1 to 6.
In one classroom?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I never had more than 30 pupils then, but then I went to 5th and 6th grade, and then I had 55 in the room at one time.
Wow. And what about when you retired with teaching 6th grade? How many students would you say you taught?
Then they were beginning to limit the number, and I had around 30 each year.
Wow. And with rural education, you just taught, it's basically like elementary education, you taught them every subject?
Yes, I never taught rural education. They came from the farm, they knew what it was all about. We just taught all the subjects.
Okay. Are there any other important aspects, I guess, of your experience at Millersville that you would like to talk about? That weren't touched on?
Such as?
Anything that you can remember standing out, like sticking out of your Millersville experience that wasn't talked about, or anything that you can remember that would seem weird now, or things like that?
Well, it was all strictly business. That's all I can say.
Now, I just wanted to clear everyone up on the fact that you started in 1933 at Millersville, and then you went from 1933 to 1935. And what is this about a teaching option? Like after 2 years, could you explain about how you were allowed to teach? But
yeah, every 3 years you had to get 6 credits until you got your degree. Then I decided that I was going to get my degree right away. And I went to summer school and Saturday classes, and that's how I got my extra credits from 1935 to 41.
So it took you an additional 6 years to get those extra 2 years, but you had the choice of going from 1933 to 1937. You could have done the 4 years straight through, is that correct?
Mm-hmm. But I was anxious to get out in the classroom. I was only 18 years old then.
So you were allowed to still teach, but then also collect your credits on the weekends and summers?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And did a lot of people choose this option, or were you one of the few?
No.
Did more people do the all 4 years, or
a lot of them took the 2-year course and then started to teach? But there were some that my friend from high school, she went the 4 years and she became a kindergarten teacher, but she stayed the 4 years.
So how old were you when you got married, and why did you decide to get married at that age?
30. Because I found somebody I wanted to marry.
did you have to put your teaching career aside?
No. I taught 1 year after I was married. But my husband had a business, and then I retired and helped him till then he had 2 heart attacks and passed away, and then I went back in the classroom again.
And what year did this happen?
He died in 58, and I was married in 47.
Okay. Now, back in college, were you seeing anyone, or was there any type of love interest? And if there was, how were you allowed to associate with boys back then?
Well, it wasn't anything serious because you didn't think about that. You wanted to get out and earn some money. But we used to go down to the nickel mines, hike down there, and spend a Saturday afternoon talking and nothing else. No kissing. Who's back here?
Just somebody. Now, who was this person that you would take down to the nickel mines, was it called?
Mm-hmm.
You said that's now located in the back of Millersville, back where the lake and things are?
No, it was down the road about a mile. It's still there. It's called the nickel there in the early 1800s.
And what was this young man's name and what happened between the relationship?
Well, there was nothing serious ever. There were a whole gang of us that went. One of the men that, well, there were two that we used to talk a lot. Were Jake Singer was his name, and the other one was Warren Nicken. And he went down in the South Pacific in the Second World War.
Now, he went down in World War II?
Mm-hmm.
And was that common for students at Millersville? Was he still a student when he was lost at sea?
No, I think he was married. I'm not sure. No, that was later.
After he graduated, did you see any students have to go off to war?
No students.
Yeah.
No, I lost track of Millersville. I had one at home that was a Penn State graduate that I dated. But I didn't marry him either.
So how did you meet your husband then?
I won't go into that. It's a long story.
But it was no school related?
No, nothing.
Okay. Now, you were born in 1917, and that was during World War I. Did that have any effects on your family or anything like that?
Well, they were beginning to draft married men in April, or in February I was born, and in April they began to draft married men. And because I arrived at that time, I kept my father out of the war. And then the war ended in the 17th of April.
Wow, that's amazing. Now, since you were born in 1917, and then you started college in 1933, you were 16 years old?
Mm-hmm.
How did that happen? How were you able to go to college at 16?
Well, in those days, when you reached 8th grade, where I never was, you took an examination, and the whole county got together in one school in the county, and we took an examination. And if you passed, you could go to high school. And I took it when I was 12 years old and passed. And if you didn't pass that examination, you had to go to school. If you lived in the farm area at 14, you could get a certificate and work on the farm. But in the towns, you had to go till you were 16 if you failed your 7th or 8th grade, and some of the boys did. But I was 12 years old when I took that test and passed and did better than some of the others. There were two men who were correcting the tests, and they told my teacher who went with me that I was doing better, but he didn't know who was doing better, but he learned later that I was the one that did better than a lot of those that had 8th grades.
Wow, and you said you never made it to the 8th grade, or when...
I was never in 8th grade. I was never in 8th grade. I went from 7th grade to high school.
Wow. Now, why didn't you take the 14-year-old option of working on the farm, getting a certificate at 14 and working on the farm? Why didn't you choose that path?
Because I wanted to go to college and be a teacher.
Was that always your dream, or...?
Yes. You could either be a teacher or a secretary, or work in the bank. That's about the end of what women could do in those days, or be a nurse.
And women were okay with this? No women seem to want to be any other type of job, or not that you knew of?
No. No, not till the war came along, and then Rosie the Riveter appeared, and then they found other jobs, but no, that was it for women in those days.
Okay. And so that's why you graduated high school at 16?
Mm-hmm.
And then went off to college at 16? Mm-hmm. And that was the norm back then?
No, most kids were 18. There was a girl, only one girl that was younger than I, and she was from Lidditz. I can't think of her name right now. She was younger than I was and did the same thing, took the test and passed, and that's how we got in.
And you said a lot of the boys failed this test? Not a lot of the girls?
No, that was in my own school. A couple of boys, big boys, they went till they were 16 because they lived in town, and you couldn't get a permit to work on the farm.
Now, were you in any type of activities, school activities at Millersville, or sports or anything?
I played basketball. And
on the Millersville team?
Yeah, yes. I was on the girls' team. And tennis. And that's about it.
Not football?
No. Girls didn't participate in men's activities in those days.
Did any of the men's sports get any special privileges, like the football team or anything like that?
I don't know that the boys did. The boys who played on the football team and came from the coal regions were the waiters in the dining room. They got special tuition rates, but then they had to be the waiters in the dining room.
When you say special tuition rates, what does that mean? What were they?
They didn't have to pay as much as a regular person did.
As long as they were waiters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's right.
Did you get picked to be a football player at Millersville, or you just came and tried out for the team?
You mean to get basketball. I didn't play football.
I mean for the football players.
Did I what?
Did those students get picked from their school, or did they come and just try out for the team like you?
Boys. Are you talking about the boys? Oh, they came to Millersville for football. Millersville was famous for its football team.
Oh.
And that's why those boys, especially from the coal regions, why they came here.
Oh. And what about basketball? Were you picked for that, or you just came and tried out for that?
Well, that was part of gym. That was part of the gym class, basketball.
And you had to be on the team to do the gym class? Like the gym class was the basketball team?
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
So did it change throughout semesters?
No. I was on the 2 years that I was there.
Now, as far as reunions, I don't see any yearbook picture, things like that for you. What happened since it was about an 8-year process of you going to college? Were you ever accepted as the class of 1937, because that would have been your 4 years, or were you accepted into the 1941 class, which is the real class you graduated with? What happened since you went to school for the 8 years rather than the four? What happened there?
Well, I stayed with the class of 37, and I always met with them when they had get-togethers in the summer and in the spring and the fall, and I never knew anybody in the class of 41. I never participated in any activities that they did, and they don't know I exist, and I never knew who they were. I went to Saturday class and some summer school, and we came and went and never got to know them.
And you think that it's because you did the summer courses and the Saturday classes that they don't put you with 41, but instead with 37?
Well, you went to special, like I went to Dr. Lingenfeller's house for my American Lit course, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You went to special rooms, and there were only a few of you, and you never got to know who was on the campus that Saturday or in the summer. You never got to know the other people. You came and went.
But when you actually went for the 2 years, you said the campus was pretty small, and did you know fairly everyone there? Was it,
you know? You practically knew everybody. You knew who they were. You didn't know them all to talk to them, but you knew who they were.
Were there any special arrangements when it came to meals, or did men and women eat together, or things like that?
We ate in the same dining room at the same time, and boys were the waiters. There were no girls that served you, but the boys who played in the football always got special privileges. They got their meals free, and I don't know about the tuition, but there was something that was of an advantage to them.
Okay, now, Mrs. Baum, you are currently 86 years old. When did you retire from teaching?
In the 89. I taught 42 and a half years.
Wow. Now, would you say that Marysville gave you that backbone to be a teacher? Did you ever, when women were able to do other jobs, were you ever interested in doing any other type of career, or was teaching always what you were fond of?
It was what I always wanted to do. Just like you have kids today that say they want to be a teacher, they are, and that's what I wanted to do. My sister wanted to be a nurse, so she went to nursing school.
Now, you say you got married at 30. Did you ever have any children? Did this...
No, I had no children.
Was this due to the fact that you couldn't be married as a teacher and got married later, or just personal reasons?
No, by then you could be a married woman and teach. That was when I started in 35. But I didn't want children. I had hundreds of them, and I thought they were all mine.
No, I know a lot of teachers like that. I consider their students their own children, and that's a good way to be, makes it more personal. Are there any students or faculty that you still keep in touch with from Millersville today?
No, I don't know anybody on the faculty there, and I don't know any students who are there now.
Have you been back to Millersville since your graduation in 41?
Yes, I was there for what was it, our 60th reunion? I still am with the class of 37 as far as attending activities. And I was at that celebration in...
97,
was it? Yes, in May 97, when the class of 37 had a reunion. And I sat with them, and they still consider me one of their classmates.
Now, do you have any other family that currently go to Millersville that tell you the differences in the teaching habits or things like that, or the way the campus looks? Like, do you hear any differences?
No, and I don't know a student who's there today. I had students that I taught that went to Millersville, but I'm out of the classroom now for 12 years, and I really don't know anybody who's going there now.
Okay. Well, is there anything else you wanted to touch on as far as your experience at Millersville? All in all, would you say it was a good experience, or did you sense a lot of sexism and difference between men and women?
No, I enjoyed every day just like I did in the classroom. To get to Millersville, I used to take the trolley from Effort Up to the square in Lancaster. No, two blocks below the square. Then I would walk two blocks up to the square and take the trolley for 5 cents to Millersville.
Now, when was this? Because when you took summer courses? Because you said you lived there.
No, when I was at Millersville from 35 to 37. That was transportation in those days. If somebody didn't take me back in the car Sunday evening at 6, I would take the trolley from Effort. I had to be taken to Effort, and I'd get on the trolley and ride through the countryside to the city and then take the Millersville trolley and get there by 7.
Now, that's when you went from 33 to 35? I thought you lived on campus and the teachers made sure...
Yes, I did live on campus, but we came home on the Sundays, you know, the weekend, Saturday and Sunday. We couldn't come home the first 6 weeks that we were there, and I was terribly homesick. And Alta Martin, who lived right on the edge of Millersville behind on a farm behind the Mennonite Church, she just died last year, she was allowed to have me come home for a day so I could see the cows and be on the farm, and then I could go back and wasn't so homesick.
All right, well, that concludes my interview with Miss Amanda Gockley-Baum. Once again, it's November 8th, 2003. Amanda is currently 86 years old. When she attended Millersville, she was 16, started in 1933, graduated in 1941, and... My name is Elizabeth Collette. I'm doing this for Mrs. Wise's U.S. Women's History. This is the Oral History Project for Millersville's 150th year anniversary. sorry, one final question. You said something about when you first came to Millersville, there was the idea of a big sister. What was that?
Well, she's the one that got you interested in the rules and told you what you can do and can't do and told you to memorize the alma mater and be able to sing it when you get called upon to do so. And if there were any questions you had those first 6 weeks, you were to ask her for help. And she happened to be from Ephrata, and I lived in Reinholds, 10 miles away. So she died 2 years ago. Until that time, we were very good friends. And she gave me the ins and outs of the campus.
Wow, now were boys assigned big brothers, or was it just a girl thing?
No, just the girls, so that they wouldn't do the wrong thing.
Wow. Okay, I want to thank you, Mrs. Baum. When Mrs. Baum went to Millersville, it was known as MSTC, the Millersville State Teachers College. This concludes my interview with Ms. Amanda Gockley Baum. Thank you.